still in John chapter 10. We started it last week. Jesus the shepherd. We did a drama up here illustrating how we can be led astray, but he's there to protect us, provide for us, to lead us to good things. This portrait of Jesus in John as the shepherd, he's our leader. He's our protector and provider. And he's self-sacrificing to the point where he gives his own life for ours, that we can be in right relationship with him. That's reviewing last week. And I said I needed to go on with this week. The shepherd theme is huge throughout Scripture, but I'm going to try and only deal with this chapter to some degree, but it brings up some incredibly important truths that we really, really need to hear. So like I prayed earlier, I pray God would help us really hear his voice this morning. This week, moving into this, the shepherd gives confidence to his followers. He does that in at least two ways that I want to look at this morning. The shepherd gives confidence to his followers first in communion. What I'm summarizing as communion. We're created to worship. And people will choose to worship all sorts of things, but we're created to worship God and for intimacy with him. And I'm summarizing that relationship as communion with God. And out of that, we have fellowship with one another. And out of that, we love other people. But it begins there with worshiping God, much like we've been singing, who he is, and that intimacy with him, humbly bowing before him as our Lord and Savior, as God, which he is. Having communion with him, enjoying him as our shepherd, not just the shepherd, but as my shepherd. Enjoying the way he cares for me, leads me, protects me, provides for me, and has self-sacrificed for me. But taking all of that personally, step by step, in a journey, experiencing him daily as my shepherd. I want to read verse 16, chapter 10 of John. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. His commitment to his followers is total. He holds nothing back, right? And he says of his sheep will know his voice. They will listen to my voice. There's a response required of his sheep to living with him as our leader, our protector, our provider, and enjoying what he purchased for us through his self-sacrifice. The shepherd portrait is a beautiful and rich illustration of his total commitment to our good. And it leads to, we need a total commitment to him. And we can have confidence of his commitment to us when we are his. It includes a confidence in salvation. Those who listen and hear, those who heed, follow my voice. Right? We were talking more about that last week. Those who follow have a confidence that in Jesus, that what he says he will do, he will carry that out. And we can apply that personally. Remain in me, he says. Remain in his protection, in his provision. Abide there. Take up dwelling. Follow. Worship him. We don't worship him perfectly, but we're quick to repent of trusting in ourselves or something else and acknowledge Jesus as our shepherd, our personal Savior and Lord, our leader, who we follow. And if we're following him, we have that assurance. We have that constant assurance with us. Well, listen what follows verse 16 here. Because I was visiting Maggie Pullman's a couple of times this week. She's in St. Joe's, St. Mike's, St. Joe's, is their boys' school. St. Mike's palliative care unit. And as I'm visiting her, yes, she's in pain. She's facing imminent death. It's not a fun process. This world is totally distorted. It's not as God designed it in the beginning. And he knew we were going to rebel. And he made a plan. We celebrated communion last week, celebrating that God came up with a plan to restore that which is broken. And we have the promise of eternal life. But in those moments, in that her experience, she still has this peace. And it's making an impact. Someone was in dialogue with John that just can't understand her being at peace. And this is from an unbeliever. He doesn't know the Good Shepherd personally. And it creates in him, I don't have that kind of peace. I'm not even the one facing imminent death. And I'm lacking peace. He realizes he's not abiding, residing in the sheepfold, in the Good Shepherd's care, protection, and provision, caring for him. And thus, this dichotomy is pointed out. An incredible opportunity. I'm praying that God would use this for good, that others would come to know the Good Shepherd. But we have a choice. We have a choice in this matter. Do we respond with worship and surrender and following him, or do we reject? And we went into a lot last week. But listen to these verses. Verses 17 to 30. I'm going to read them through, make a couple of comments. But as you listen to these verses, listen to who Jesus is. As the Good Shepherd, his care, who he is, what he's done. Listen to the response of Jesus, to Jesus, of people. Go another step, make it personal. Assess our own current response to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And listen for the commitment, the certainty that he gives his followers, that we can have communion with him. For this reason, verse 17 says, the Father loves me. For the reason we read in verse 16. Because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This was revolutionary. Somebody teaching this, it was crazy. And we'll see that in the response here in a moment. Because anybody can choose to lay down their life. Right? The kamikaze pilots did it as they flew into Pearl Harbor. They can lay down their life. Someone, a suicide bomber, can lay down their life for a cause. Someone can quietly commit suicide in their room. We can lay down our lives. Only Jesus can lay down his life and take it up again. And we worship him. He is God, Almighty God. And the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He does it that he can take it up again. He has authority to do that. This charge I've received from my Father. And listen to the response. Verse 19. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon. He's insane. Why listen to him? Right? To take up your life again. Come on. Who would believe that? Is loony. Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Going back to chapter 9, the illustration, he's given them lots of visual expression that confirms his character, that he is divine, he is God, and he's fully man at the same time. At the time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly, right? The people have been waiting for a Messiah, for the Christ. It's been 400 silent years, and Jesus' birth, and now he's into teaching. And they lack the certainty that, can we really, are you the Christ, so we can have right relationship with God? They ask for clarity, for confidence. Listen to Jesus' response. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I did in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you're not among my sheep. You're not in my sheepfold. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. That's why Maggie's got a sense of peace right now. She is one of his sheep. She does hear his voice. And she believes him that he has given her eternal life, and she will never perish, and no one can snatch it out of his hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and my Father are one. This isn't saying here we won't ever have doubt. We will. We'll have times where, boy, it just seems like I'm at a hard time really hearing from God right now. Does that mean we're not one of the sheep? No, we're going to go through dry spells, etc. But he says to the people here, that persistent, nagging doubt, where you don't really believe, you're not really actively following me as your shepherd, he says that's there for a reason. He says, you say, tell me more, show me more. I've shown you plenty, he says. But you don't believe because you're not of my sheepfold. You're not my sheep. You don't hear me. You don't know me. And you're not following me. This is really, really serious stuff. His sheep do hear. They do know him. They do follow him. And that following is then not permission to go our own way. Right? We've determined to follow him. Then we quit following our own way and justifying our own actions. He says this is a sign of disbelief. You continue to live like this. You continue to go your own way. Shows a disbelief, an unbelief. A true Christian desires to be free from sin. Not to sin freely, Romans 7 points out. And there's a lot of people, certainly in North America, that I'm a Christian. But it seems like Jesus would say something similar to them. You're not following me. You don't really believe me. Because you're not following. You're just justifying your own sin. Going your own way still. So you haven't taken me as leader, he says. Unless you don't live in my protection and provision. Because not believing equals not following and equals not my sheep. This is a theme throughout Scripture. That there is we can't earn Jesus' grace. And we can't earn adoption by him. He calls us his sons and daughters, those who truly confess him as Lord and Savior. But once we do confess him as Lord and Savior, then we move forward differently with him as our good shepherd. We let him care for us. We don't strive after caring for ourselves the same way. Listen to Matthew 5, verse 20. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Don't trust in what you do on the outside as a way to get in to the kingdom of heaven. Because on the outside, they were doing well. But it has to exceed that. He needs to change the inside. We've already talked a few weeks ago about being born again. It's something God does within us as we surrender to Him. When He reveals the truth about ourselves and the truth about Him, and we say, "You be my shepherd. I bow before You." And then we live differently as a response of that, out of gratitude. But we don't earn it. But look at Matthew 7, 21 to 23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father." See, when we say we're followers of Jesus, then we actually follow and we do the will of the Father who is in heaven. "On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name and cast out demons in Your name? Did I not go to church regularly? Did I not do this? Did I not do that? And do many mighty works in Your name?' And then I will declare to them," much like He does in John 10, "'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You never came into my sheepfold.'" He just went and did some stuff, hoping to earn or whatever else. "But you were never my sheep. You never heard my voice or followed me." What will happen to His true followers? Look at Matthew 10. "Brother will divide brother over to death," will deliver brother over to death. "And the father, his child, the child will rise against his parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by one person on the planet. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Not who believed the right things about Jesus, for the scripture says even the demons believe who Jesus is, but who endures, who actually follows Jesus continuously and continues on. I mean, this is going around on in our world that people hate. Hindus are killing Christians like crazy in India. They just detained a doctor. A doctor. He's a trained doctor, and he goes and does good in the world. And when he tries to fly back into his own home country of India, he's detained. Why? Because he's a follower of Jesus. And they hate him. Muslims all over the place. Philippines, there's beatings, there's church burnings, there's people in jail. They're hated. Atheists, others, slandering, calling names. We will be hated. There's a cost to following Jesus as His sheep. Allowing Him to be our shepherd will lead us into places that are really, really uncomfortable. Listen to earlier in verse 10. We just read 21 and 22. I'm going to read verses 12 and 13. "And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." See, we're not snatched out of Jesus' hand by anything other than our own cold hearts. When we're truly His sheep, we have this incredible confidence of communion with Him. The Good Shepherd providing for, leading us, guiding us, protecting us. And it's so good. We've been singing about it. But it's so very not good for those who reject Jesus. One more verse. Consider Luke 9. There are a few verses from chapter 9 of Luke. "As they were going along the road, someone said to him," that is to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Will you really, in other words, follow me? Right? We sang it. "Oh, to be like you, Jesus." Really? Really? We want to be his followers. If it's going to cost us a place to live, if he calls us to be a missionary somewhere and we cruise around teaching like he did and we're at the mercy of other people to put us up every night. To another, he said, follow me. But the man responded to him, to Jesus. He says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. We'll come back to that in a moment. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' commitment as our good shepherd is complete and total, and he holds nothing back. And he says, unless you respond in like kind to me, you're actually not in my sheepfold. Are we more concerned about this life? Right? We pray a lot for safety and comfort and things of this life. Do we pray for the impact, for eternal life, much more? What are we really following when we say we're Jesus' sheep? It's been easy in North America. Hey, yeah, I'm a Christian. Lots of people proclaim it, and lots of people are going to be disappointed. They're going to say, Jesus, we did this stuff for you. And he's going to say, I never really knew you. You haven't heard, you haven't heeded my voice. Let's admit it, you're not one of my followers. Not listening, not obeying, not following, it all equals not my sheep. And this is serious. This is the good shepherd speaking. He's giving a warning. He's saying, you need to be, right? You need to be reborn. You need to believe. You need to believe not in a way that goes, oh yeah, I understand who you are, Jesus. You're the Messiah. And then go on and move, live the way we want. It's a belief that changes us. And we surrender to him and we live in a yielded manner before him constantly. Or we're not fit for the kingdom. But as for you, he says here, go and proclaim the kingdom. See, we have a confidence if we are truly his and submitted to him. We have a confidence. Eternal life is ours. It not will be ours, it is ours. He's the good shepherd. Amen? And we have that certainty. It's beautiful what we enjoy from our good shepherd. And we have a confidence. The shepherd gives confidence to his followers in his commissioning. Let's reread verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. You know, when he sends us out, go and make disciples of all nations, he's not kidding. That's what his followers do. Or we really don't believe him. Or we're not really believing him. Because that's his passion and his heart. And that's what he's doing. But we can go with the confidence that all those who will respond, who are his, we'll respond. We go with the confidence our words are not in vain. We go and imperfectly share Christ with others. But all those who are open to it or who will respond to what he's doing and has revealed who he is and the truth about them, they will respond. We can go with that confidence that he will lead others to himself. We're commissioned to love God and love people. We're commissioned to make disciples, even those who persecute us. That's also going on in India. That's also going on in the Philippines. And I don't know, maybe minimally in North America, it seems like. Even those who persecute us, even those who call us names, who hate us because we're followers of Jesus, Yes, even them. And it cannot fail. They will listen to my voice. At some point, our co-workers, our fellow students, others will respond to who Jesus is and follow him and know him as the Good Shepherd as well. We can go with that confidence. There's others, he says here, who are deceived, who are being led astray, even leading others astray. They're making poor choices on their own, who need to know the Good Shepherd has come. For all who will follow, he has died. He has laid down his life for all the sheep. And there's still more sheep to come. And he says, my followers, go and do that. My followers will follow him right into uncomfortable places. Jesus is calling us to follow him in relationship as his sheep. And it's a simultaneous, an inseparable calling that he's commissioning us as disciple makers. You can't say, oh, I'm just here to enjoy Jesus and be one of his sheep. It's one and the same that I will proclaim him because it's the same following. It's who he is. And it's who he causes his people to be. To follow Jesus is to be inviting others to follow him with the confidence that those he is calling will respond. Many of us wait. Many of us wait. Maggie's facing death. We can wait until our deathbed or until we're facing death to really get real with God and follow him. Be willing to follow him. Be willing to have hard conversations with friends and family and whoever else. What are we doing in the meantime? I have a hard time calling that following Jesus if we're putting off what we already know to do. Then do we really believe him and are we following him where he's leading? Who are we praying for right now? Can we pray with confidence that God is calling others to know him as his good shepherd? If we're content to let part of the world go to hell, that's got to point out a disconnect from us and the shepherd. Are we really hearing his voice? Because his heart is for he came to die, to seek and to save the lost. Who are we loving right now? Who are we serving right now? If we want to be like Jesus, oh, to be like Jesus, who are we self-sacrificing for? I find I'm convicted with this. I don't even want to give up some of my comfort, some of the extras in my life, let alone my life. I'm dismayed at how unlike Christ I am. And so I want to confess and repent before him and follow his voice. I want to get up every day, not because I'm supposed to do my devotions, but have an abiding time and enjoy Jesus as my good shepherd. And whatever he gives me to do in that day, boy, do I ever want to do that. I want to follow him as my good shepherd. And it's going to take me in some places I don't want to be. So I want to pray for courage. That's why we gather in small groups. That's why we gather in our Sunday school classes, to encourage one another. Scripture's full of encourage one another. Take confidence if we are his sheep. And have confidence that the words and actions we do in the world, he will work through that. One plants, one waters, he brings the growth. Don't get discouraged. Don't stop doing it. Let's enter into the world knowing he is calling. He is waiting. And he longs that people come to know him. To join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that's beyond description. And at times, often, actually, I'm complacent. I just want to enjoy it for myself. The epitome, the highest level of selfishness is for me to keep you to myself. It's always been connected with, as I enjoy you, I tell of you. I proclaim the story of you in my life and invite others onto that journey. Despite their response, I'm not responsible for their response. But I am and will be held responsible for hearing you and following you. Would you give me courage, God, to move into this week, into this month, as a follower of yours, not in word only, but in deed. And would you work through that and transform Southern Alberta and around the world as people come to know you and are discipled to the point where they're inviting others and discipling others. God, help us enjoy you as our good shepherd and not keep it to ourselves. Amen.